Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
Ref, I'm a server. That's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. He's gonna get some free steak.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, this is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
Look in my eyes, what do you see?
Just realized I need my glasses for this show. I can't see a dang thing. Jose's kind enough to have the Astros on. And I can't see the television. Oh, wow. It's like I just went right into high def. Who knew? Patrick Creighton with you. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP, listener line. Jose Partida on the other side of the glass on the ones, twos, and threes on Twitter at PCreighton1, at ParJ94, at ESPN97.5. And in about an hour, Game 5, the Rockets and the Warriors. Listen, Game 5 usually is the game where somebody seizes control of the series. This is a best of three now with the Rockets having two at home. So far, it's gone exactly as I thought it would, which is they were going to split the first two at Toyota Center, split the next two at Oracle. Now, that doesn't mean the games went the way that I thought they would. Just before the series started, I thought that's how it would go. So right now, we're an hour to tip off. Who do you got? You believe in your Rockets? Do you believe in Harden and Paul? Do you believe that your local team will get it done in Game 5 and take control of the series at 3-2, or are you the pessimist? Do you believe the Warriors are going to come to Toyota Center and beat the Rockets again? Now, if you're a Warriors fan, of course that's what you think, but if you're a Rockets fan and you're not going with the home team, we might have to have an intervention. We might have to have a come-to-Jesus moment. There's no reason, no excuse if you're not on the bandwagon right now. And this has been that kind of series. You know, after Game 1, everybody wanted to write off the Rockets like they were dead. They were toast. They had no chance. Crown the Warriors, series over. And then in Game 2, they punched the bully in the mouth. And then after Game 3, oh, the Rockets are dead. The Rockets are toast. The Rockets have no chance. Just crown the Warriors now. And then in Game 4, down 12 points in the fourth quarter on the road, the Rockets punch the bully in the mouth. And now with that aura of invincibility in their own building smashed, no more can the Warriors go back to, oh, well, we're going to have home court, and we never lose at home, so we can smash whoever. Well, they didn't have home court in this series, and now they've lost on their own floor. Does that shot to the gut that they took, blowing a 12-point lead in front of their own fans, what kind of impact does that have on the Golden State Warriors? Are they now questioning whether or not Game 5 is something that is going to be, oh, well, we're just going to win? Or are they now questioning, okay, how do we fix what we did? Can we fix what we did in Game 4? Can we fix it? Is there now a different, are they looking at the Rockets differently now? Because going into the series, I don't think they took the Rockets quite as seriously maybe as they should have. I think the Warriors have always had this idea that, hey, we can flip the switch anytime we want. You know, the whole, well, we play better when we're threatened. Well, you know what? They were threatened in the fourth quarter in Game 4. Now, call me crazy, but I don't think they played better in the fourth quarter of Game 4. Just going to go out on a limb there. Don't think that actually happened. So coming in here, game five, Rockets and Warriors, who and why? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Andre Iguodala not expected to play again tonight. Makes a big difference. See, and this is where, you know, the other side of the super team comes in. Where you don't have the depth. And it's like, well, who needs depth? You've got Steph, you got Klay, you know, you got KD, you got Draymond, you have Iggy. Like, how much depth do you need? Well, this is where that depth comes into play, because they don't have the guys coming off the bench to give you quality minutes if one of those guys goes down. And you saw how big an impact it had in game four, not having Andre Iguodala, the defense, the facilitator, the flexibility. And they blew a 12-point lead at home. So for that point of view, Andre Iguodala, like, no, he doesn't score a truckload of points anymore. But he still scores, and he still facilitates, and he still plays terrific defense. And you know what? Kevin Looney doesn't do that. And, you know, Swaggy P doesn't do that. And neither do any of the other guys on that bench. They don't have the pieces. So when you hear people talk about the depth of the Rockets, okay, Ryan Anderson was supposed to be your starting four. Well, your starting four right now is P.J. Tucker. Is Ryan Anderson has fallen completely out of the rotation. Luke Bamute is still dealing with that shoulder injury, and he's completely ineffective. Well, P.J. Tucker's your starting four. You know, if the Warriors had lost two players at the same position, by the time they put another guy out there, that guy's a massive downgrade. P.J. Tucker's played really well. Now, he didn't have the points in game four, but he certainly had, you know, the defense, scrapping, grabbing rebounds. I like P.J. because I like those guys who are blue-collar, lunch-pail, bring-it-to-work-every-day type of player. I love those type of guys. So as we get into game five here between the Rockets and the Warriors, and we'll probably cover this most of the first hour. We'll talk about Rockets and Warriors, and we'll take your calls, 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. On the Rockets and the Warriors tonight, which team do you think has more pressure? Is there more pressure on the Rockets because the game is in their building? Or is there more pressure on the Warriors because they face elimination if they don't win? 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. I believe Jake Mariznick just hit a three-run homer.
Three runs, yes.
To center field. That's a shot. You know, the issue with Mariznick isn't the power. We know he has power. It's, can he not strike out every other at bat?
He got a single earlier in the game with a full count.
You know, last year early in the season, Mariznick hit really well, and then he was hurt. And when he came back, he didn't hit as well. I'd like to see Mariznick play well. We know he can go get it in the outfield. He's got to be a consistent stick. Because otherwise, George Springer has to play center field pretty much every day. And you saw yesterday, man, they couldn't even play Springer in center because they didn't have anybody who could play right. So we'll keep an eye on the Astros. And obviously, we're talking Rockets. Game 5, Western Conference Finals, coming up in about 50 minutes here on Late Heat.
You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So from the this is kind of interesting department, there's a Twitter handle you know, Warriors on NBC Sports, which has a video of a large, their tweet says, a large amount of water just fell from the top of Toyota Center onto the court. And there's some Warriors personnel staring up at the ceiling, looking around, trying to figure out what's going on. That's rather interesting. Something just burst. I mean, the video doesn't show it pouring down, so it doesn't look like it's an active pipe. So did somebody knock over a water jug? You know, how does that happen? How does like a splash of water, a giant splash of water, just suddenly land? Somebody did something stupid, right? So we'll figure out what else went on down there. We get to your call, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HR&P listener line. Tyler, you are in the leadoff spot here on Late Hits. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How we doing?
Doing all right, brother. What's up?
Oh, not a lot, man. Hey, I just wanted to call. Being a Houston fan, I mean, I've been a Rockets fan my entire life. I've been a Houston sports fan my entire life. And I think the pressure is on the Rockets, without a doubt, just as game five at home, because, I mean, everybody's so hyped up. We're not going to go – I don't think we're going to go back into Oracle and take two road games in a row, realistically. So I'm in a spot right now to where I feel like every Houston fan normally feels in a clutch situation. I don't feel good about it, but, I mean, of course I'm cheering for them. You know, we've been there before in football, second round of the playoffs. We've been there for years in baseball, always lose the big game. Rockets, you know, they could never get to the Western Conference Finals until the ball finally bounced their direction when they played the Clippers. So, you know, I'm just – I think Houston's going to Houston, and, you know, something might happen. I really hope it doesn't, but it just has all the makeup for me to be disappointed again. And I know, you know, Jose, being a lifelong Rockets fan too, I mean, I'm sure he can add on to that, you know, but I hope it goes differently, man. The pressure is all on the Rockets, and hopefully they prove me wrong tonight.
So you're putting no stock in the fact that the Astros won a World Series last year and just going,
well, yeah, no,
Houston always fails.
That broke the mold, man. I mean, and I think everybody's going to get off their high horse. I mean, hey, I threw my money on an Astros-Rockets parlay tonight, so of course I want them to win, you know, but it's highly unlikely, you know. But, hey, we'll see, man. We'll see, you know. So I appreciate the phone call.
Ye of little faith, Tyler. I'm a little disappointed, but you appreciate the call. I'm a little disappointed, but I guess I can't say I'm surprised, because he's not the only guy who feels that way with, you know, I've borne so many scars, I just don't have faith. Even though the Astros just gave you a world title, it's like there's still more scars than there are, like, love connections. So, like, they don't know how to handle it.
Those
scars, I think that's what it is.
Scars don't go away, Patrick.
Yeah, but they don't hurt forever either. I mean, God knows I have a bunch of them.
Yeah, you do.
All right, Nate, you are on Late Hits. What's up, Nate?
My boy.
What's
you
up?
You are doing an excellent job tonight. I am enjoying the show before it's time for me to put it down, if you know what I mean.
Hold on, hold on. This is not Nate. This is Hollywood.
What's up, man? You are doing a fantastic job. I am loving the show. I am listening to the perspective. I didn't tell him to put me on the guest line. I just want to call in the show like you did Sunday, like you called into your show Sunday, but you were sick. So on a more serious though basis, Pat, I think there's a couple things to keep in mind, and I know you'll throw this around once I get off. When the Astros won the World Series, they had Harvey. Harvey was the chip on the shoulder. The Rockets, Dynamo, Texans, every professional sports team in town has Santa Fe. And I know it's a very tough situation. That's not something that you necessarily want to highlight, but think about this for a second. Because of the courtesy of Tillman Fertitta, the Rockets owner, he invited the Santa Fe seniors to the game tonight. They're actually going to take in the game tonight. There's going to be a video tribute to the families of the victims. There's also going to be the national anthem, which is going to be sung by the Santa Fe High School Choir. Yes, the pressure's on the Rockets, but I think they can handle it. And if there's a time for them to step up and say to themselves, to the city of Houston, as well as the nation, that just like the Astros, during times, hard times in the city of Houston, during really, really tough times, we know how to come through. This is a game where they can show who they are. And I guess shed a little bit more happiness, positiveness, if you will. Give those people in Santa Fe something to really cheer about during their time of grief. I can't think of a better situation, a better platform for the Rockets to come out and show who they are. That's all I got to say, buddy. You're doing a great job, man. Loving the show. And keep it up.
I appreciate you, Hollywood, buddy. I'll see you on Sunday.
You know it.
All right. That is the man. That is the hardest working guy in Houston media. That is Nate Griffin.
I almost spoiled the surprise. Chris told me that Nate was on the line, obviously Nate Griffin, and I almost told you it was him, but he told me he just was calling into the show, so I figured he wanted it to be a surprise.
Man, and Nate, you know, the whole thing about Santa Fe and Fertitta inviting the high school, and they're going to sing the national anthem. Dude, that is going to be an emotionally charged Toyota Center. The butts better be in the seats for that national anthem. And by that, I don't mean they should be sitting down for the anthem. I mean, they all better be at their seats so that they're all there standing, yelling, screaming as soon as that anthem ends. All right, Jose, you are on Late Hits. What's up, Jose?
Hey, what's up? First of all, I just wanted to know, it's my first time tuning in this late. I'm at a long drive, and so far I love the show. I'm excited to hear the rest of your show. I feel like the pressure is definitely on the Rockets because Golden State, if they lose today, although they'll be in the elimination, they're playing at home where they're playing really great. And hey, a win's a win, but I feel like game four was kind of a fluke. You know, 12 points in the quarter for the Warriors is very, very unlikely. So I feel like the pressure is definitely on the Rockets.
So the 12 points in that fourth quarter, that to you, that was a fluke. That wasn't defense. That wasn't scheme. That wasn't them running Steph Curry ragged on the defensive end. That was just the stars aligned and they bricked a bunch of shots.
Well, yeah, that, and also you gotta take into consideration that Klay Thompson didn't play a full game. He was out for a while. And,
he was only out for a few minutes, and his pride was hurt more than his knee.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping he's really really affected this game. I'm hoping that, you know, he sets out for the rest of the game, and we can just beat him.
All right, Jose, appreciate the call. Hey, did you guys see the report that Klay Thompson may have an addiction?
No.
Apparently, he might have an addiction to females.
Really, huh?
I thought that was an interesting story.
Wasn't it a big story about him trying to find a wholesome woman about 6 months ago?
Yeah, trying
to
find a wholesome woman because in the meantime, he's shacking up with all the booty he can, right? Maybe he and Tristan Thompson, you know, maybe they could, like, form a tag team or something. Actually, they probably already have. I'm not even going to go there. All right, Dale, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Dale? Dale going once.
You got Daryl.
Oh, all right. They wrote Dale on the screen, but it's Daryl. All right, Daryl, you're on Late Hits. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, the Rockets just need to treat this like a Game 7, like every Game 5 for any home team. Treat it like a Game 7. You go back to Dub City, man, you don't want to play those guys with their game in their pocket like that. So Game 5 and 7 is the way it should be treated.
I don't disagree with you. I absolutely think that, you know, the Rockets should be treating this like it's do or die. Look at the Western Conference Finals. You should treat every game like that. But particularly when you have what is now a three-game series and two of these are going to be in your building, you need to own your home court. Own your home court and put it on the Warriors so that when they go back to Oakland, it is backs to the wall. You better win in your building. Oh, and the last time you were in here, you spit the bit and choked a 12-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Now, that's my only fear if the Rockets do win game five tonight is they get in that mode of a little lackadaisical and, you know, not have that, just relying on that game seven back at home and not trying to finish over in Dub City.
Well, I hope that's not the case. I hope they win tonight and they go out to Oakland with the killer's mindset to try to put the dagger through the heart. Because that's, look, you that is the sign of a championship team. You have a team down, you have your foot on their throat, you step. Don't let them up. Don't give them a little air. You step. Appreciate the call, Dale. We'll get to more of your calls on the other side, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, CHRMP listener line, taking more of your calls on Rockets Warriors. Who's got more pressure for this game? Getting to it next on Late Hits.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So there is a patch that the Rockets are going to wear over the jerseys tonight. Now, it's from Rockets Twitter. So they're going to wear the black jerseys tonight. And on the left shoulder, front left shoulder, there is a white patch that has black letters with yellow outline that says Santa Fe High School. So they will wear that patch. And it's, you know, we talked about earlier when Nate Griffin had called in. Santa Fe High School, the students, some of the faculty, the families, all welcomed in as guests tonight by the Rockets. And the Santa Fe High School choir will sing the national anthem. So this is, you know, and Nate mentioned about, you know, how in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey that, I mean, and look, we really got to see some of the best of the city of Houston in the way an entire city of all different backgrounds, different race, different religion, different socioeconomic impactors, people of all walks of life came together to help each other and support each other in that time. Like, there was no white, black, red, green, yellow, orange, rich, poor, tall, short, fat. There was Houstonians. That was it. And it did seem like the city kind of galvanized together and then rallied behind the Astros. Now, it's different when you're talking about the entire city being affected by a massive storm. And, you know, what essentially is a mass murder in a high school in one particular part of the city. But I do understand what he's talking about is, you know, could the city galvanize together in support of the Santa Fe community and then rally behind the Rockets in support of that community? It is different, but I understand what he was saying. All right, let's go back to the phone, 713-780-3776 on the HRMP listener line. John, you're on Late Hits. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I just wanted to let you know, man, you hit the nail on the head when you brought up that point about Thompson. Oh, and to that guy earlier, Tyler, he's just unenthusiastic. He was not around in 94 and 95 when we was at Joe's Crab Shack on Richmond, hanging out the window, hanging off the balcony, having fun, with the brooms at the front door, telling people how sweet it is. Not how sweet it is, how sweet it is. They don't remember that. They don't remember that. But then we're going to remind them tonight. Also, let me let y'all know, I'm a Lyft driver, right? Okay, last night I'm right here off 288 McGregor. I get a ping from a woman. Sad. I'm talking about Asian that built like a black woman. Her, she had me go to a second stop, pick up two more women. Now, tell me why my thing looked like it's going to Toyota Center. I ask, I say, y'all going to Toyota Center? They say, nah, we're going down the street from now. I drop them off at the Four Seasons at Lamar. Before she got out the car, she tell me, you know, this is where the Warriors stand. You know, Clay Neso. And she get out the car. So, I'll leave it there, fellas. H-Town tonight, baby. We got it, baby.
Hey, John, real quick, where is there a Joe's Crab Shack in Richmond?
On Richmond, baby. Richmond and Fountain View, baby, where Sam's Boat is now. That's where it was, baby.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, in 94 and 95, while you guys were down here celebrating titles, I was up in New York wallowing in my misery because, you know, my team is the one that you beat.
Oh, I remember, yeah, but that was who we beat the first time. But we also beat Orlando, and we swept, and we ain't sweep y'all. We swept Orlando. We ain't sweep. Y'all was real good. The Knicks was real good.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm still haunted by the fact that John Starks couldn't hit the broadside of a barn in Game 7, while Rolando Blackman, one of the sharpshooters of his era, was left to rust on the bench by Pat Riley in that game. Yeah, I remember
you're
that.
You're right. Hey, never underestimate the heart of a champion. All right, baby.
Take care, John. Appreciate the call. You know, that game will stick with me forever. That Game 7, where Starks couldn't hit anything. He was just chucking and chucking and chucking, and he could not hit a damn thing. And there's Rolando Blackman just waiting to get in the game, one of the best shooters of his era. Like, you couldn't find 5-6 minutes for Blackman to come in the game and hit a couple of shots.
I like what he said about those girls going across the street to Toyota Center. As he was talking, I was like, maybe they were just going to the Justin Timberlake concert.
Yeah, maybe they were just going to go shack up with some Golden State players.
That's possible.
You know, like I said, you know, Clay might have an addiction. And I don't know, when he described the type of women that he described, I'm sitting there thinking, like, that sounds like Instagram model to me. If the features are that exaggerated, you know they're probably not real. That doesn't mean anything to most people. They don't care. They're not worried about whether they're real or not. They just, you know, are there for the aesthetics. Are you a real versus fake guy, Jose? Do you have a preference? A real versus fake, or do you just want it to feel real?
Yeah, I guess.
You don't care.
Yeah, no.
Like, whatever. Is that like a whatever as long as I'm getting mine? Dude, did Tony Kemp just rob someone again?
Tony Kemp died for our sins.
I love Tony Kemp.
Oh, my goodness.
If he had any kind of an arm, he'd be a center fielder. Because that guy can flat out fly. So Tony Kemp just stole an extra base hit again with a ridiculous leaping catch right by the wall at the 325 sign right down the line. Tony Kemp, and you know what? It was a couple of years ago. It was like 2015. The first time I saw Tony Kemp make this ridiculous backwards diving catch in center field, the dude can go get it. He's got speed for days. He could go get it. It's just that he's got a second baseman's arm. So in center field, if he's playing center field and that ball is deep, that cutoff man better get his ass out in the outfield. But he could go get it. Man, I'm really happy that dude's finally getting a shot. Because there is nothing left for him to prove in the minors. All the guy does is hit. And he doesn't hit for power, but he hits a ton of doubles. He hits a ton of triples. He steals bases. High average, high on base, takes a lot of walks. And that's exactly the guy that you'd want to have hitting in front of Altuve, Correa, Springer, Yuli. You know, you get your power guys up, and there's guys on base, particularly guys on base who can run. If they could just get it out of George Springer's mind that he has to be a leadoff hitter, because, you know, with George's power, he should be hitting four. And you got, you know, Bregman 1, Kemp 2. Two guys who extra base hits, good eyes at the plate, high on base, high average, a lot of speed. Those two guys do damage ahead of, you know, the Astros' power bats. They would do damage. But first, they got to convince George that, you know, when you're going to hit 38, 40 homers a year, you want to hit with guys on base, not leading off the game. You drive in more runs that way. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Rockets, Dubs, Game 5, Toyota Center, 20 minutes. That's how long you got to get in, make your prediction, tell us why somebody's going to win, why you like that team, what's going to happen, who's got more pressure on them. It's all coming up next on Late Hits.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, so Gio Lopez, who's one of the producers here at Gow, he's a freaking troll. And I will have my revenge on said troll at some point. He's just never going to see it coming. But that loathsome, vile piece of trash sends me a tweet that goes, Olajuwon better than Patrick Ewing, am I right? Sadly, he's right. Olajuwon is better than Patrick Ewing. But realistically, if we're talking about Dream, how many other centers enter the equation when you talk about guys who are as good as Olajuwon? How many other centers are there? Kareem? Russell? Who are we talking about at center that is on the level of Olajuwon? There's not many. Kinda. I mean, Olajuwon is easily a top five center all time. Probably top three. And as great a player as Ewing was, he wasn't as great as Olajuwon. You know, I'm a Knicks fan. Those two were my teams. But Ewing wasn't as good as Olajuwon, period, the end. It does hurt to say that, you know. But, you know, if you know anything about me, you know that I will be objective about stuff. Even when it hurts me. I will be objective about stuff. I will not die on the mountain of, oh, Patrick Ewing was better than Olajuwon. Olajuwon just had more help. No. Dream was better. Period. The end. And it hurts, but it's true. We're about 13 minutes away from Rockets and Warriors in Game 5. And I know I've been asking everybody about, you know, who do you think has more pressure here? Where is this game more important? Is it with the Rockets? Is it with the Warriors? 713-780-3776. You got about 10 minutes here to get in before we transition out of the Rockets. So you got about 10 minutes left to get heard. And while I do think there is a certain amount of pressure on the Rockets because they do not want to go down 3-2 going to Oracle, I also think that there is an equal, at least equal amount of pressure. Oh, that's my boy Tony Kemp getting a base hit, by the way. I just want to say that. If you haven't seen it, I just did an article on Tony Kemp on sportsmap.com. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you go to sportsmap.com and see the article I did on Tony Kemp. But there is a certain amount, I would say at least equal, if not more so, pressure on the Warriors because they were the favorite. They were the favorite. They are the defending champs. They've been in the finals 3 years in a row. They've won two of the last three titles. They just blew a 12-point fourth quarter lead in their own building. And they still have to do it where they don't have Andre Iguodala. We don't know. I guess we don't know how healthy Klay Thompson is. You saw Steph Curry completely run out of gas in the fourth quarter in Game 4. So I do think there is at least an equal amount of pressure on the Warriors because, you know, you blow that game in your own building. This is going to be a very emotionally charged building tonight with all the stuff with Santa Fe High School. That building is going to be on fire. That's going to be a lot for them to overcome. And by they, I mean the Warriors. Especially if no Iggy and Clay and Steph are less than 100%. That's a lot to overcome. If they don't, well, you know, they're in a world of trouble going back home. Now it's an elimination game, and the last time you were in your building, well, you got beat. So I think that the as far as the pressure is concerned, I think it's about even. Tyler, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Tyler?
Yeah, man. I would say the Warriors definitely have a lot of pressure on them. They've never been in this position before. So I'm really excited to see how they respond. But as a longtime Rockets fan, you know, James Harden and Chris Paul, you know, Chris Paul is coming off of a career where, you know, one could say that it's potentially been disappointing because he hasn't won a championship, you know. So I think there's a lot of pressure on the Rockets tonight at home. You know, obviously you're taking the home court advantage into play. So let's see what happens. But go Rockets. Love you guys.
All right, Tyler. You know,
that was sweet. I love you too, Tyler.
I don't necessarily understand the lack of faith in the Rockets. You know, every time they needed to get off the mat this year, they got off the mat. They answered the bell. And you know what? They answer the bell game two. They answer the bell game four. And now they're bringing in all the, you know, everybody from Santa Fe. I expect the Rockets to answer the bell tonight. In fact, here's Tillman Fertitta talking about bringing in all the kids from Santa Fe High School.
And there's nothing like loss of life. And as important as great as it'll feel to win, I'd give up that win immediately to bring all those 10 lives back and erase whatever happened today. Because it's just a game, and everybody's still going to get paid, and I'm going to still all right regardless of a win or a loss. But we are where we are. This is the life that our God created, and it's just what we have to deal with.
Have you had any interruptions?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. You think about what happened, you know, last Friday. It's heartbreaking. And even more heartbreaking, if you really want to get into it, is the fact that, you know, this happened on a Friday, 1 week ago. So basically a week ago tomorrow, Santa Fe High School shooting happened. The very next school day on Monday, we had six different incidents around the city of kids bringing guns to school. Like, what? How does that even happen? You just witnessed a horrible tragedy all, you know, in the city. You just witnessed this. Why would you even think about bringing a weapon to school? If you are a parent who owns weapons and you have children, how do they have access to these, especially after what you just saw? I'm sorry, and I know that different school districts are taking different approaches to how they're handling the end of the year, because we are to the end of the year. You know, my kid's last day of school was today. There's a lot of other schools, the last day of school is like in a week. But it is very apparent that when kids go back to school in August, there need to be only certain entrances that you can get into the school. And that's usually the case. You can usually only get in through the front. And there need to be metal detectors. And there need to be armed cops inside the buildings. And every single classroom should basically have a button, like an emergency button, where they hit it and it sends a signal to the cops that are in the school that there is an emergency in that classroom. There's no reason these things cannot be implemented by the time those kids go back to school in August. At some point, you know, there has to be the idea that we are going to keep guns out of school and we're going to stop telling ourselves these BS reasons while we're not doing it. All right, we're going to stop making excuses for why we're not doing it. We're going to stop complaining about rights and gun laws and who can have what and cost and how long it's going to take and how long the line's going to be, and all that BS is all going to be gone. And we're going to make a commitment to keeping our children safe in schools, to keeping our loved ones safe in schools. It really shouldn't be that hard. Every school in New York City has metal detectors, has armed cops in the schools, every single one of them. Some of those schools have over 4,000 kids. High schools with over 4,000 kids. So I don't want to hear, oh, there's too many kids in the school. This school's got 3,000 kids. Pfft, whatever. Lehman High School in the Bronx got 4,400. Stop making excuses. Put the metal detectors in. If the kids got to show up 25 minutes early to get through the doors, then they got to show up 25 minutes early to get through the doors. How early do we get to the airport now to make our flights? You do what you need to do to ensure safety. This should not be that hard a concept. You know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, people owning, you know, high-powered assault rifles and stuff like that, but it's legal. So let's just own them responsibly. Whether it's a rifle, whether it's a shotgun, whether it's a handgun, whatever, let's own them responsibly. Let's teach our kids the right way to handle weapons. Let's be more in touch with our kids so that when they're having problems, they don't feel they have nowhere to go and they resort to really drastic, horrible, stupid things. You know, that's parenting. That's on you and me and everybody else who has kids. That is an equal part of the problem. But since I can't legislate stupid parents, I can legislate having armed cops and having metal detectors and doing everything I possibly can to keep guns out of schools. All right, we'll get into the Astros, we'll get into the NFL, all coming up next here on Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5.